All right, we have an excellent podcast for you, to you today, when we're going to talk about Dopamine Nation. This is an amazing book, and we live in the age of indulgence. Think about it. We're on our phones all day. There's so many distractions. We have more places to be distracted than we've ever been. And what we don't realize is the more distractions we give into dopamine or these pleasure response chemicals, the more we're hit with pain. So tune in. It's a great example to figure out how dopamine may be affecting you and what you can do to start to move through that and stop it from hijacking your brain. Stay tuned.
Hey, welcome to this episode of the Winner Folsom podcast, your source for battle-tested leadership and resiliency. And I'm excited to have this particular conversation about really the dynamics that are going on within that drives rewards and happiness. So we're going to talk about dopamine today, which is I'm really interested in.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this subject. I just finished the book, Dopamine Nation. Highly recommend it. And one of the biggest things that I learned from dopamine is essentially in the brain, we have these pleasure chemicals initially built to keep us alive. They're actually built for survival. So when we want to eat food, as an example, the act of the ritual of noticing when we're hungry and moving towards preparation of food, it stimulates the dopamine receptor so that we'll actually put in the work to go hunt or kill prey so that we can actually eat to keep us alive. So there's a basic premise of the brain, which is this, think of it as a scale, and the dopamine hits not actually when we're killing, but it actually hits to incite us into the ritual to go to the kill, let's call it, or to go to the fridge to make dinner. So the dopamine actually hits.
How far we've fallen.
Oh yeah, right?
From getting the dopamine up to go on an arduous hunt with our brothers to wandering into the kitchen. Making your own food is a fucking big deal, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Even like some people won't leave their house. They'll order food 100% online, have it delivered, directed. They don't even leave to get their food anymore. Like that's the world we're in now.
Yeah, turn the fucking stove on. So dopamine is like a reward driver.
Correct. Dopamine is a reward driver to get us to do things, to get us to take action. One of the things that happens, though, when we are in a dopamine-stimulated response, it's the ritual. It's not the actual killing. Once we get the killing, we get a little bit of a spike, and then we're done, right? Then it's like we're done because the goal was that was the reward. So it's actually all the energy to the kill that actually gets us there. Or for those of you that are into pornography, there's a trigger that happens. Oh, I want a reward. I want to sexual reproduce. You jump online, your whole ritual. And if you're listening, you have a ritual. If you're watching porn, you do it in the shower, at bed. There's some ritual you do. That is when the dopamine hits it. It's actually getting you to take the behavior and it wants to stay in prolonged sessions. So here's the thing though, when you're actually in a dopamine response, and now we do it through social media. Mm. We do it through food consumption. Mm. We do it through pornography. We do it through all kinds of drugs, nicotine, stimulants, like alcohol, you name it. There's all these things that gives us a massive pleasure response in the brain that gets us on one side of the scale. So here's the point. When we are in a dopamine response, the body always stays in equilibrium. So what it does is we're getting massive pleasure through the dopamine. The body, think of it as naturally builds pain to balance out the scale.
Yep.
So what happens is you go like, oh, this feels really good. I'm going to chase porn for an hour or 2 hours, or some people do it all day long. As soon as you actually release
misery,
all of a sudden this pain jumps in and the scale tips and you are in a pain spiral. And then a lot of times what happens is we are in withdrawals. And so the dopamine kicks back in to put us back into sequence. So we end up living these lives almost like a rat running on the cage, mm-hmm. where we're incessantly doing these things over and over and over again. But what we don't realize is pretty soon it becomes less about, I need food to survive. It becomes more like, I want to get out of pain, because we've created so much pain from hitting so much pleasure, mm-hmm. that what ends up happening is we're basically just jumping. Philip has a great example of a monkey that would just jump back and forth. And we end up jumping back and forth, just trying not to get spiked, but we're doing behaviors on a regular basis to get more dopamine addiction just to keep us out of pain. And that actually keeps us stuck. So the dopamine cycle is what keeps us stuck in pain. Hmm. So if you're listening and you're listening going, ah, man, I got a lot of anxiety right now. Why am I constant anxiety? I'm smoking weed to get out of my anxiety. Or if you are listening going, ah, I just have some tough days. So I have a drink when I feel tough, or I go to the kitchen and eat some food. I would invite you to say, and I forget the name of the author, but again, the author of Dopamine Nation, she says it takes 4 weeks to actually reset your body free of dopamine. And she also gives some things, which we'll dive into this in a second. You can also reverse it. You can also step into pain to actually get more pleasure chemicals.
Is that the ice bath horrors?
It could be the ice bath horrors. It could also just be a lot of the things that we bring forth, Philip, like forcing discipline in your day, like enforcing yourself to do the hard things first, or eat the frog is a great time management principle. All these things are doing is do the uncomfortable, go into the pain first. And if you're pushing the scale down on a pain, your body's going to produce pleasurable chemicals to balance you out. That's why some people do ice and they feel euphoric, because they've stepped into a painful experience. And a lot of research actually backs it up. The key here is if you go too far into the pain, it can fuck you up. So, and then you get addicted to the pain response. So there's a, as with everything, there's this nice little balance of where are you finding balance? So my invitation to you with just that enough information is, where are you addicted to dopamine? And if you listen to our podcast on overcoming and setting a schedule and routines and habits and overcoming your inner critic, you're going to see these are really tied in together. But I'd be curious, anybody that's listening, where are you addicted to dopamine? Where do you not feel good in the day and you go to a distraction? Do you go to your social media? Do you doom scroll? Do you play video games? Do you watch TV obsessively? Do you eat food nonstop? Do you drink? Like, where are you getting a dopamine hit that hijacks you when you don't feel good? Such a valid conversation.
So similar to serotonin, mm-hmm. right? Serotonin is kind of the well-being brain chemical that would be associated less with pleasure and more with happiness and well-being.
Yeah. And again, I'm not 100% on the science, but at least from what I understand, that's part of the cocktail that comes. Mm-hmm. It's just, we jump in. The dopamine is, at least from my understanding, the dopamine is the part that gets you into action or gets you into the ritual. And that's when the dopamine releases. I think the serotonin hits when you actually get the reward. It's just when the dopamine becomes louder than the serotonin or the pain chemicals get louder, you need a greater dopamine response to get it. So that's why we need crazier porn. We need bigger challenges. We watch, it gets more graphic. The shows that we watch, like everything has to heighten for the dopamine receptors to keep going deeper. So it's, the drugs get more vicious.
Do we burn out dopamine receptors in the same way that like cortisol gets burned out when we're under stress?
Yeah, we can also push so far that we actually burn out the dopamine and the receptors just blow. And so it's very similar things that we're looking through of the same lens. But again, it all comes back down to like, where am I feeling pain? I know for me personally, just to interpret, I read this book and I'm like, wow, my challenge was I'd try to quit something or start a new habit or behavior and I'd get a couple weeks into it and then another one would show up. Like I went all like, hey, I'm going to get rid of porn, did all this work to get rid of porn, did a whole ceremony. And then guess what? Nicotine showed up. And then when I quit, nicotine, food showed up. And so for me, I was like, why am I playing whack-a-mole? And like, I quit one thing, the next thing shows up. Or even at the gym, I had a new trainer and he gave me a workout. And after like 3 months, I'm like, dude, I've been on the same workout for 3 months. Aren't I supposed to change every 6 weeks? He's like, yeah, if you want a dopamine hit. And I was like, oh, even my workouts, I'm looking for a dopamine hit. Like I want something novelty, something new. So I'm really learning. For me, I have to do a month, which I'm going to do a challenge to myself. Can I not give into any dopamine for a month? And can I give into instead painful, like things that are more painful? Because you actually get the serotonin and the oxytocin through connection. Mm-hmm. So it comes back to kinship. Where we actually get it is being in community, feeling alive in a sense of nature, doing things that actually elevate us or our community are the natural forms of it. But when we get caught down these dopamine spirals, we get lost. So it's going to take a month to heal, to come back to life again, to be part of your best self. So that's really...
And it's too easy right now. It's too easy to get the dopamine.
Well, I think that's really the challenge, is one of the great parts they talk about in the book is you have to set like different ways of boundaries. Like one of the things I realized is I'm going to get a little phone that ties to my phone. And during the day I use work, but from a certain, my nighttime hours to my morning hours, I'll have the flip phone in my room, which means there's no scrolling. All I can do is respond to if there's an emergency call, I can answer the phone. But other than that, there's no engagement outside of those hours that I build for myself. So I think we have to build boundaries to ourselves because we have the world at this now, which is really, you're going to quit one thing and the next thing can come up, right? But are you staring at your phone? Are you engaging with life? Are you present with your family? Are you meditating? Are you reading? Like, there's so many things we could do. Oh, one other side point is the woman talks about, wrote the book. She got addicted to romance novel. Like that was her dopamine fix. That's how she got into it, is she started reading one, then it became obsessive. And then pretty soon she was blowing off work and these other things to read the novels, or blowing off her evenings instead of sleeping. She was staying up late reading. And so again, if you're listening, you may be doing light forms of dopamine, but the key is it affecting your life? Is it starting to like take over things when it's affecting your self-care, the things that are important to you in your life? And you notice that. Philip said this on a previous podcast. How do you feel afterward? Do you engage in something and then you feel like drained and dead? Or do you engage in something and feel filled up, energized? And that's a really good quick indicator. whatever you're engaging in, it should either energize you or deplete you. If it's depleting, most likely it's a dopamine hit and you're doing something to get a hit and then you're crashing afterward and then you're stuck repeating that pattern over and over again.
Hey, we thank you for listening to the Winner Folsom podcast. Just a couple quick notes. First, if you are a man and you're looking for an honorable and inspiring group of men to hold you accountable and challenge you to grow in your relationships, your fitness, your career, your finances, and your life, go to www.k4men.com. And if you are a veteran, first responder, or man or woman who deals with trauma, and you are looking for some resiliency tools and skills for you, your team, your organization, go to valorresiliency.com. Hope to see you there. Back to the podcast.
The early on in kind of my development journey, this was probably like 30 years ago, I was reading the Dalai Lama book, and he was talking about the difference between pleasure and happiness, which, you know, for me, I was like, oh, well, there's truth. Like, what does that mean? Like, the concept of that. And then he went on to say that any pursuit of pleasure contains an equal amount of pain. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, okay, let me think about this. And I realized, number one, the difference between pleasure and happiness is that, you know, obviously pleasure is junk food, shallowness to it that leaves me feeling a little icky afterwards, whereas happiness involves vitality and service and something that's more exalted. And but anything that I'm doing that is strictly pleasure based is going to contain an equal amount of pain. And you just unlocked that for me when you said, yep, dopamine pain. I was like, oh, fucking Dalai Lama.
Well, shit. And you know what this ties into? We talk a lot about adolescent versus adult male psychology. Adolescent needs pleasure. Adolescent needs short-term pleasure, where an adult male can not choose to get the immediate pleasure for the long-term.
Delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification. So that's really tying this in, is the adult male doesn't do what children do. And children are what run on dopamine, I think, is what we're discovering. Whereas an adult man could say, these are my goals. I'm willing to put in the work. Like, I'll give you another big one for me. Instead of doing everything in a year, which was my old psychology, which had me caught in this dopamine cycle, I'm now like, oh, 10 years. What's my 10-year plan? It's a very different way of looking at the life when you can engage with the world very differently on a much longer term value. I love that connection, though.
I'm going to throw this out there. Porn's a big addiction issue with men because it's just so accessible. But bigger is the cell phone addiction. I mean, I think if we were to like target one thing with society today, you know, like it's just so prevalent. And talking to all the men out there and all of you, if you're watching this, you aspire to be an honorable, mature man, is capable of holding up society. When I see you fuckers driving on your cell phones, I mean, there's just nothing more adolescent than that. And, you know, and I get it. Recently, I brought the phone into the bathroom. That's a good place to start. But my God, gentlemen, when I see full-grown men in their vehicles moving on their phones, it's the most adolescent thing that you can do.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I would got to say, I was a victim of that early until I realized, like, wow, is this dopamine hit? Is this conversation more important than potentially killing somebody? Or potentially, like, I mean, you're driving a vehicle going fast. You're driving a killing machine, driving fast down the road. All it takes is one person to step in front of you. And now you're going to jail. You've killed another life form. There's a deer that steps in front of you and you killed a passenger. Like, things happen very quickly and you need to be 100% paying attention. So that's been humbling for me. So I was that guy for a little bit and I can get it. I just wasn't present. I was valuing my day, trying to be productive instead of realizing now I step in the car, it goes on the dash. I MapQuest it or listen to music. And it's just like accepting this is where I'm at right now. So,
and I'm going to go one more because this is kind of a tough love series, right? I see men at the gym, not just answering a text or queuing up music, sitting on a bench, other people waiting, and I see him fucking scrolling. Like, and you're not just taking a break, dude. Like, you're on there for 5, 7, 10 minutes. I'm like, dude, so how many more sets you got? Like, number one, you know, you're compromising the gym and the world, but there's other people to talk to. You could be learning, you could be networking, you could be doing all those things. So the cell phone's a big one. And start there, gentlemen. Start with the cell phone addiction.
Yeah, I like this. Like, just take an inventory of what do you do with your phone? There's settings you can do to figure out time spent on different apps. Like, start there. Look at the time spent on apps. Start to figure out how much of a day you're engaging on. How much of your life would you get back if you minimize time in your day just on your phone? I love that, Philip. I think this is a great challenge.
It's hours. You're losing hours that at the end of your life, you're going to be like, I could have literally years back.
No. And if you're not getting the results you want in your relationship, your health, your finances, this is one of the primary reasons. Stop letting this take. So you don't want to get to the end of your life and say, I could have been financially free right now, but instead I'm working a job until the day I croak because I gave it to my fucking phone. Or I ended up single and alone and empty because I gave it to my phone. Right?
Yeah. If you're dating a woman, do not pick up your phone at the table. Or you get your man card pulled. Like, take care of that woman next to you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it'll pay off later if you do. Like, don't complain about your sex life if you're on your fucking phone. Like, put that energy towards hunting the things that you actually want, right? Stay hungry to hunt.
I got to say, now that we're on that, that's one of the most, like you talked about guys on their cell phone. Being in a restaurant and seeing guys sitting on their phone, that's got to be one of the most disturbing things to me of like, really? You're not that present. You're going to be on your phone the entire conversation. And it's not even a child. It's like a wall. It feels like you're just a wall.
You could be the best looking, jacked, wealthy dude. But the moment that this happens, fucking loser, man. It's like, ooh. So, hey, claim the high ground, gentlemen. Be that one of those rare dudes in the restaurant who's scanning for threats, who's pursuing their woman, who's holding space and talking to the waiter. Be that guy. Might be painful initially. Yes.
Yeah. Cause that's the game. When you remove the distractions, guess who you have to be with?
Yeah.
And at first it's going to be uncomfortable because you've been used to distracting yourself that's the other part in this book is a lot of times we go there because we don't want to sit with uncomfortable emotions or feelings or sensations. And so instead we numb and distract and avoid ourselves with all kinds of other things. So guess what? When you initially stop, I challenge you to do a 4-week dopamine cleanse and it's going to be shitty the first 2 or 3 weeks because one, you're going to be crashed. Two, you're going to have to sit with all those messy feelings and emotions. And can you not go back to that when you have a tough day or when you feel bad or you get knocked down or when you feel really good and have a good day?
Hey, you got the book with you?
I do. One second.
Yeah, because we should show this book to the crew.
Oh, right here.
There it is.
Dopamine Nation by Dr. Anna Limbeck. Really good book. Highly, highly recommend you. Quick read. She actually takes you through a bunch of her clients too. So that all their stories and shows you how they overcame it. So it's really interesting because she shows a lot of examples. And for those of you that are deep into like citing, she cites a ton of research. So I got excited to like go in and read a bunch of other books just from the way she cited it. So really engaging way she writes too through stories and examples. So highly recommend you check it out.
Beautiful.
So, hey, your call to your action this week is write down all the ways you're distracted by dopamine, primarily focused on the phone. And we challenge you to do it. Can you do a 4-week commit? Can you commit to not engaging with your dopamine and actually give yourself time to reset? That's the challenge.
All right.
Thanks for joining us and stay battle tested.